Great, we're there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, why don't I just start by reading out the psalm, and then we can go from there. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people. May the hills bear the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. Sorry. May he crush the oppressor. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like the rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish, and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the desert tribes bow down before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him with gifts. May every king bow down to him and all nations serve him. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help them. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and he will save them from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given to him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May corn abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then every nation will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. This concludes the prayers of David, son of Jesse. Great. It's a bit of a long psalm, isn't it? It's quite a long one, but we got three. Hold on. We persevered. I'll come to that in a moment, and I'm going to speak about the themes of that psalm, which are really all about the justice of God, his compassion for the vulnerable and the excluded, lived out through human beings. That's what this psalm is about. And in particular, lived out through kings and rulers and presidents and prime ministers. And, you know, in our moment that we're living in, prime ministers are called into question a little bit, isn't it? This week has been an interesting one in British politics, and maybe we'll touch on some of that. But before I do, I just want to start by calling out a couple of things about this church that I really want to say. I want to just encourage you with two things. Firstly, and it's so appropriate given what Robin was just praying, can I say, I don't think I've been in a church in my life that takes unity as seriously and as reverently as you do. I don't think I've ever been in a church that places such a reverence and a desire for unity, quite like you guys do. Guard it. I think from the first moment that I walked in, it was about 5 minutes before someone told me about the pact that you guys have with Christ the Redeemer. And it was a real excitement. And then when I kind of came to the services, I heard every single week a prayer for unity and a prayer for the other churches in this patch. That is unusual, guys. Guard it. When I come to the prayer meetings here on Sunday evenings once a month, without fail, there is always prayers for other churches in this community, in this area. That's amazing. So be encouraged. Secondly, I was just asking God, Lord, what is it that you... What do you think when you think about this group of people? What is on your mind and your heart when you think about this group? And as I started praying that, I waited on God for a moment. And the words of a song came into my mind. Now, I'm not going to sing the song because I can't sing. But the song is from, it's a really old one. From the rising of the sun to its going down in the east, the Lord's name is to be praised. From the rising of the sun. You know what? Yeah. We used to sing it in my church back home. And I thought, God, what are you saying there? And actually, it became clear. You are a church who knows that worship is the whole of life. You really know that, and you live it out. Your Sunday morning is passionate in worship, but it overflows into the rest of your week. And I just think God wants to call that out in you and honour it, because it is true of this community of believers. You know that worship is the whole of life. So, I've said some nice things about you, now I can preach the sermon. And if it's terrible, you can you can forgive me. But no, I really mean those things. Your unity and your whole life worship is wonderful. I think God would encourage you in them. Some of you will have heard this before, but I'm Tim. I work for Just Love. Just Love is a Christian organisation that inspires students to pursue God's justice in different ways. So, for example, here in Cambridge, many of our students are engaged in the Cambridge Church's Homeless Project, working with rough sleepers throughout winter. Here in Cambridge, we also helped run the Refugee Scholarship Campaign, which basically persuaded the university to fund 10 studentships for asylum seekers to study here in the UK. We believe that no matter what your background, what the colour of your skin is, your religion, no matter any of those things, you deserve the right to a great education. And so we campaigned, and the unis are going to kind of fund some scholarships. Elsewhere around the country, Just Love students do all sorts of different things, engaging with kind of big issues of the day. You get the general idea. Here in Barnwell, we've been kind of engaged with youth work through Christ the Redeemer and helping out some of that stuff. I thought I'd show a couple of pictures of Just Love students. So these guys on the left are doing a besom project, hacking down someone's garden somewhere. It's just always the way. And these guys on the right did a walk for freedom to campaign on modern-day slavery. This is my colleague Tom, and this is from our annual student training conference. So we try and give students the chance to think really deeply about the Bible, but also how the Bible applies to the real world, to their day-to-day lives. And Tom is preaching on something or other this time last year. Our annual conference is actually this week, so if you could pray for us guys as we do our big like once-a-year event, that would be wonderful. So that's Just Love, and that's kind of where I'm coming from. That's my background. If any of you are interested, on the 4th of November, I'm hosting an evening with Just Love. It's a lovely kind of drinks and canapes evening in the centre of town, just with a chance to hear a bit more about who we are and what we're up to all around the UK. And I'd be thrilled if some of you would like to join us for that. It's really just a chance to share our vision and invite people to kind of get behind that in a whole host of different ways. I'll make sure you guys get some flyers at some point. Anyway, so that's me, that's Just Love. Let's actually get to the Bible, shall we? Like I said, this psalm is a bit of a long one. It also isn't the one that I instinctively wanted to preach on. When Stuart asked me if I'd like to preach on a psalm at some point over summer, I was really excited. It's a real privilege to be asked to speak. And I thought of a few that I really wanted to speak on, some of my kind of favourite psalms. But when I prayed about it, within a moment, and this doesn't often happen, but God spoke to me really clearly and said, Psalm 72. And I was like, I don't even know what is in Psalm 72. What even is that? And I was like, okay, well, I guess I just better go and have a look. And so I did, and I read through it, and I thought, God, why would you want me to speak on Psalm 72? That's about a king. We don't even have a king in the United Kingdom. It seems a bit old-fashioned. It seems a bit strange. But as I thought about it a bit more, and as we'll unpack for the next 20 minutes or so, actually, this psalm is so, so relevant to where we are now as Great Britain. Because this is a psalm about praying for those who lead us, for our rulers. And I didn't know that the week that I preached this sermon would be the week when Boris Johnson prorogued Parliament and suspended it and all this stuff went down. I didn't know that it was going to be this week, but God did. And I think he wants to speak to us as a community here today and invite us to think about these issues. So this psalm is about leadership. And it's not just about the leaders of countries, but it could apply in a whole different host of ways, about head teachers or bosses or church ministers or whatever, really. It's about anyone who leads, and that's what we're looking at this morning. Why don't I just pray really briefly? Thank you, God, for our leaders. Thank you, God, for those who lead us. I confess that I'm not always a big fan of our leaders. But I ask, God, that you'd give us a soft heart this morning to grow in love for you and to work out how to live for you in this world. Amen. Great. So here's the guy, isn't he? You probably all got different opinions. Some of us will love him, some of us won't love him. Some of us will feel like, for crying out loud, can't we just talk about something else that isn't Boris Johnson? Don't worry, I'm not going to preach on Boris, but there he is. This psalm is a prayer for the king to be endowed or given justice, given a spirit of concern for the vulnerable and the oppressed. May he defend the afflicted among the people. May he save the children of the needy. Throughout the whole psalm, it's all about helping those who are in need. And before we kind of talk about our leaders, it's worth saying this psalm is really about Jesus. It's a prophetic psalm. Though it's written in the Old Testament, it's pointing to a future king who is Jesus. And it's a description of the kind of king that one day Jesus will be over all of the earth, over all of humanity, over all of creation. And actually, Jesus has begun to build that kingdom already when he came to earth. And just to draw out a few things, this kingdom is one where he is here for the afflicted, for the vulnerable. I don't know what that word afflicted means to you, but I have some friends, I know some people. It just seems in life that it's one thing after another. It might be illness or debt or family breakdown, relationship difficulties, whatever it might be. But it just seems in their life that kind of the universe is against them. Do you know what I mean? And perhaps some of you have felt like that or even do feel like that. And that's hard. That's really hard. But Jesus is here for those people. It says in Psalm 72, may he defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. See, while worldly kings spend their time with the rich and the powerful and the elite, the Jesus king doesn't. And we see that in the people he hangs out with when he comes to earth, don't we? Lepers and prostitutes, people who everyone else shuns, that's who Jesus goes to. So the just king is here for the afflicted and the vulnerable. Secondly, the just king is a global king. I think this is so important for us right now. If you've got a Bible, just have a quick look at verse 8 of Psalm 72. It says, may he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. To drop down a bit further, verse 17. Then every nation will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. Every nation will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed. This is a hark back to the first ever moment of Israel's history, when God meets Abraham and says, I will bless you, Abraham. And through you, every single family on the earth will be blessed. Now, in our time, we have as a nation become so introspective. We are so inward looking. And when politicians speak, whichever kind of politician, they're always talking about what's best for Britain. Over the other side of the pond, it's make America great again, you know? We can become so inward looking. But the Jesus kind of king is focused not only on his own people, his own clique, his own kind of small-minded reality. He's focused on the entire world. He has a sense that there's something bigger going on in humanity. He's not a small fry king out to protect his own, but he's got a bigger vision than that. I think that's so important for us as people of Jesus in our country right now. And again, I just want to say that you guys are a people who are living that out. I love that there's usually some flags up in that room, right? Of all the nations on earth. And at the back, you've got this great map of people who you support all over the world. I love that because it reflects who Jesus is. Are you with me? So this kind of king, he's here for the afflicted. And he's a global king. And thirdly, this is fascinating. He's a king, he's a leader who makes space for other people to thrive. He makes space for others to thrive. I don't know if you've ever had a leader or a boss or a teacher like that. Somebody who steps back and makes room for you to be who you are. But that is the kind of king that Jesus is. If you've got a Bible, take a quick look at verse 6. I'll just read it out. It's a really interesting verse. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days, may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. Now that is a strange description of a king, isn't it? May he be like rain. Great. But what does rain do when it falls on the field? Well, it helps other things to grow. It helps other things to be what they're meant to be. It helps plants and crops and flowers rise up from the earth. May he be like rain falling on a field, like showers falling on the ground. And then the psalmist immediately explains what he means. In his days, may the righteous flourish. So this is the kind of king who isn't there to kind of get it all for himself, to show how great he is and always be kind of the one in charge and the kind of great and glorious leader. No, he's actually a different kind of king. He's one who will make himself low to raise others up. And isn't that just what Jesus did again and again and again? What a fascinating set of things about a king. For me, the verse that absolutely clinches it, I find this verse utterly beautiful and challenging, is verse 14. I know I'm jumping around a bit here, but verse 14 says, he will rescue the poor from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Precious is their blood in his sight. Now, in the ancient world, when this psalm was written, kings did not think much about the blood of the poor. At best, poor people were who you sent out in your army to get killed by some other nation. That's what they were for you. Or they were the ones who mowed your fields so that you could have your harvest. But this king is radically different. We miss it so much, but the Old Testament is so radical. It's saying, this king, precious is their blood in his sight. You know, Jesus takes it even further than that. For Jesus, it's not just that precious is the blood of the poor in his sight. Precious is the blood of his enemies in his sight. Precious is the blood of his enemies. That is the kind of king we worship. Isn't that really good news? That's such good news. So these are the three things that the psalm is trying to say about the ideal king. He's here for the afflicted, he's global, and he raises others up. But we know, don't we, that that is just not the world we live in. It would be great to live in it, and one day we will live in that kind of world. God is doing this kind of grand refurbishment project of the whole of humanity. That's what he's up to. He has kind of come in and he's stripping down all the walls and he's repainting the whole place and making it like this. As I mentioned, Just Love students, they're often doing BESM projects. Do you all know BESM? You know BESM? Get the general gist. This was a project that the guys did a few weeks ago. at the end of term. I don't know if you can see it very well, but basically, that someone's house had become a bit overwhelming, and Gavin sent them in to strip down the walls and put some new coats of paint on and make the place look beautiful again. That is exactly what God is doing with the world. That's what it means when we pray, God, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He's making everything new. He's making everything new. And that is true in this community right here, all around us. We haven't got there yet, have we? But he's begun. He's making everything new. I love this quote. God is building a new world in the shell of the old one. And on a quiet day, you can hear her breathing. I love that. Wonderful. The reality, though, is that we're such a long way from that. We live in the not yet. There's illness and frustration in our own lives. There's suffering and broken relationships in the world around us. It's all very well talking about this global king who's going to bless every nation. But many nations are caught up in horrible, horrible conflict and war. And for the time being, then, we don't have Jesus as our king. We have leaders. We have prime ministers and presidents, and we have all of that lot all around the world. And as we know, none of our earthly kings will ever really live up to this standard laid out in this psalm, will they? And that's okay. We are humans. But there's a danger. And there's a challenge here. I don't know if you've ever heard people say about politicians, they're all as bad as each other. Who said that? I have. You know, they're all as bad as each other. It's just kind of boring. It's really easy to feel like that, isn't it? And actually, as Christians, we can often feel a bit apathetic about it all. We say, well, one day God's kingdom is coming, so we'll just kind of wait for that and get on with our lives here and now. And I understand that, but actually that's not what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible encourages us that we can pray for our leaders. Because the reality is, and get this, the reality is, though none of our leaders, whether it's Boris Johnson or whoever else, though none of them will ever be perfect, they can be a lot more like the Jesus King, or they can be a lot less like the Jesus King. Does that make sense? And it really matters for our lives and for the lives of those we love what kind of direction the pendulum is swinging in, doesn't it? And so we pray. I love this really powerful verse from the book of Timothy, one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's got my name on it. Love it. He begins the book pretty much by saying, I urge first of all that petitions, prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Saviour. This psalm that we've just read, Psalm 72, every time there was a new king in Israel and they kind of enthroned him and put a crown on him, they would pray this psalm over their king. Because they were saying, God, we want our king to be a bit more like this. Some of them were, some of them weren't. But the point is that we are called to cry out to God on behalf of those who lead us. Now, I admit, I find that really challenging. I find it really hard. Personally, I really struggle with Boris Johnson. There might be some people in here who love him, and that's calm. But some of the way he talks and the kind of arrogance and the pomp, I just really find it hard. And some of the policies that have happened in our country in the past few years that have affected some of my friends, people who are living on benefits or people who are struggling with disability and have made their lives even more difficult than they were before. When you look around the world as well, other leaders, I don't know if you've been seeing the stuff in the Amazon at the moment, but the Amazon is literally burning down. The Amazon rainforest is burning down. And it's not just a kind of, it was a bit hotter this year. It was that the president of Brazil has been actively encouraging companies to go and cut down the Amazon rainforest to make profit. When I hear things like that, I find it really hard to pray for my leaders. I find it much easier to say, oh, they're all the same anyway. Or to make a kind of a joke about Boris Johnson and his hair. I find it much easier to make a throwaway joke than to pray. But the Bible says, come on and pray. May we be a church who does that more and more. Because when we do pray for our leaders, when we have good leaders, beautiful, beautiful things can happen. I want to just tell you this story very briefly. This guy here is called Maher El-Haj, and I heard him speak at a conference a few months ago. He's from Lebanon, which is in the Middle East, bordering Syria. And Maher is the head of Youth for Christ in Lebanon. So he's not a king, but he's a leader with a lot of responsibility for hundreds, if not thousands, of people. Now, we know that today, Syria is a really hard place to be. It's a conflict zone. But actually, 20, 25 years ago, Syria was a very different place. And Syria invaded Lebanon and killed a lot of people in a pointless war. I remember this story, it's powerful. This guy, Maher, had actually remembered Syrian tanks driving through his town, blowing things up and shooting people. His family had lost people to that conflict. People he didn't even know where they were, whether they were alive or dead, for decades. And he said this, when the Syrian refugees came, Lebanese people didn't want anything to do with it. Because 20 years ago they came with tanks. And it didn't matter if now they came with their needs because, well, we know what they're like. And so at first, he wasn't having anything to do with the refugee crisis. He didn't want to help them. But God spoke to him. Hey. And God said to this man, I want you to pour the resources of Youth for Christ in Lebanon into Syrian refugees and bless them. And what did this guy do? He said no. He's like, no, I'm not doing it. But he went and he prayed and he said, okay, God, if this is really you, then I want you to change my heart so that I can forgive these people and serve them genuinely and generously. And he said it took him 3 months of wrestling in prayer with God, on his knees before God, saying, I want to be changed in my heart. And eventually God did it. And in one moment, God poured out his love into this man's heart in a completely unexpected way and transformed his life and his perception. And from that point on, he did what God had said. And Youth for Christ began going into the camps, sitting with Syrian families, hearing their story, loving them, honoring them, giving them food and water, praying with them, being a friend, despite everything. His family members accused him of being a traitor, but he kept on doing it. Why? Because he had the love of God in his heart. The point is that when we have leaders who are doing good things, the world changes. Do you get where I'm at? It is really worth praying for our leaders. So praying for our leaders is good and it's really powerful. But there's one more part to the story of Psalm 72 and what it's getting at. Now bear with me here. Do you all know who this is? Who is it? It's Ronaldo. It's Cristiano Ronaldo. One of the best footballers on the planet. Some would say the best. I wouldn't. I think it's Messi. But anyway. Very famous guy. Many, many women across the world are profoundly attracted to this man. I don't know why, but they are. He's a much-loved player. He was just bought by Juventus last summer for some bonkers amount of money. He is a bit of a kind of character, isn't he? Everyone recognizes Ronaldo. But somebody made a statue of Ronaldo, and this is the statue. I think it's Lisbon Airport or Madrid Airport. They were like, we want to honor this guy who's this incredible player. And they made this. And you don't quite see the full awfulness of it. When you see the whole statue, he's like standing a bit like this. It's kind of terrible. And Ronaldo was furious about it. There is a point. That statue was not giving a very good image of Ronaldo. It wasn't really reflecting who he was, how good he was at football, how good looking he was, all that stuff. Sometimes as Christians, we can be a bit like that with God. And there's another dimension to this psalm here, that it's not just about our leaders, but it's about us. In the ancient world, we have this idea of the image of God. Do you know that expression in Genesis? God made us in his image. That meant something really specific to the people who read it. I'm just going to read this quote out from Tim Mackey, who's an American theologian. "The image of God is a pleasant idea, but one that can be a little hard to comprehend. But if you lived in biblical times, you were probably used to people claiming to be the image of God. Most people in those times lived under the rule of a king, and these kings proclaimed themselves to be God's image on earth, having the authority to carry out the will of the gods. These kings would create idols or statues, wood, stone, or precious metal, that were said to be the physical embodiment of gods on the earth, i.e. to be the images of God." And that is the exact language the Bible is using when it describes us as the image of God. Isn't that fascinating? So to explain that, let's say I walked into Barnwell, and it was a massive statue of Stuart. The point would be, this is my domain. This is like, this patch belongs to Stuart. Or if I walked into my house later on this afternoon, my housemate Nathan had erected a huge statue of himself in the living room, he'd be saying, this is my domain. That's how it worked. But in the Bible, God doesn't have statues. He has us. He has flesh and blood, representatives of him. He has human beings. We are his images. So that really means that in Barnwell, we are his representatives. We are his images. Now, if he is the king and we are the king's representatives, shouldn't we look like him? And so if Jesus was there for the afflicted and the vulnerable, then we should be too. We should have profound care for justice, for fairness and equality in our world, because we reflect who our king is. If Jesus was a global king who refused to be introspective or just to care about his little part of the world, but saw everything, then we should be global in our vision as well. Just like you guys are. I love it. It speaks so much that you guys are global in your vision. It really does. And thirdly, if Jesus is the kind of king, the kind of leader, who is like rain falling on the ground that makes other things grow, then we are meant to be like that too. In our community, we are meant to be like rain falling on the ground that makes others grow. Isn't that beautiful? That's the kind of reflection that we are called to be, to help others thrive. When we do these things, God builds his kingdom through us. We're not building it. We're not kings, obviously. But he builds it through us. What would it look like in Barnwell or in the whole of Cambridge, in our nation, if every single Christian lived each day as an accurate representation of the fair, just, good king that we see in the Bible? How would the world change? I don't know, but it would be a big change. And we need to pray for ourselves to be more like that. Because it won't happen by trying, it will happen by God's Spirit in us. And to go back to this, let's not be Christians who do this to God. You know, Gandhi said, I love your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. Isn't that fascinating? Let's not be Christians who give off a horrible image of God to the world, but give off an accurate one, a beautiful one.